Stand for the word of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is written in Luke in the 17th chapter, beginning in verse 11.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. And then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father, our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text upon which we will reflect our thoughts today is the gospel lesson, this well-known account of the healing of the 10 lepers. As we read this for the preacher to look at it, it immediately suggests several possible theological themes that might be developed. It's a well-known account. We first might consider the touching of untouchables. As you are probably aware, leprosy was understood as a communicable disease, and to be diagnosed with leprosy in this time and place was then to immediately be ostracized, to be shunned, to be banished from all society, from all social contact. Lepers could not go within the city walls. Lepers lived out wherever they could best manage to survive. The only persons who could come near to lepers were other lepers. It was also assumed that this was punishment for some terrible sin. And so to have leprosy meant not only that you were diseased and socially outcast, but you were a bad person. You were a terrible person. And so there's much that could be said about the Lord's compassion, His concern for the outcast, for the unclean. And then secondly, there's the thought that should not be overlooked, that the one who returned to give thanks was a Samaritan. Samaritans, as you probably know, were outcast from Jewish culture. This man would not have been allowed in a good Jewish home, even if he were perfectly healthy. So we are given opportunity to rejoice in the universal character of God's gospel. There's no boundary for the outreach of God's grace. Jesus is the Savior of all tribes, all tongues, all races, all cultures. But clearly the dominant theme here, the thing upon which we are drawn, to which we are drawn, is the idea of gratitude. See, the great question that hangs over the text is this one: where are the 9? And so, as we should often do when we consider Scripture, if we position ourselves in the text, we try to put ourselves into these words, where would we be found? Are you the one who returns to glorify God and give thanks? Or are you to be counted among the thoughtless, the insensitive, the impolite 9? Selfishly receiving your blessings with nary a thought, nary a concern about the source of your blessings. Well, it seems a simple question, but realistically, quite frankly, I suppose it might depend on what day you ask. If you're like me, sometimes we are quite aware of our blessings, quite aware of God's gracious presence in our lives. Other days, well, it's very easy, isn't it, to lose sight of our dependence upon God's grace and blessing, to make assumptions about why we live in peace and prosperity. And so our goal today is clear. No question about the target. To renew within us a spirit of deep gratitude. To gain a deeper appreciation of God's never-ending grace. But let's begin at the beginning. Why should we give thanks? Is it simply a matter of being courteous? Is it just good manners? As you know, few things embarrass a parent as much as a child receiving a gift and not saying thank you. Why should we give thanks? Remember that there is very little to distinguish thanks from praise. Thanks and praise, they go together. And of course, praise, that's the primary reason for our existence, to praise God. We are placed on this earth to give thanks and give praise to God. Everything we have, everything we are, comes from His love. But there's another reason for our thanksgiving. I suggest to you that there's a bonus. I call it a wonderful economy of grace that is activated in our thanksgiving. When we give thanks, we become twice blessed. First, God gives us the wealth of benefits, the luxuries, the comforts that surround us. But then, when we are sensitive to this, when we give thanks, when we are aware of the giver, He blesses us again. He blesses us with wholeness, with complete healing. Martin Luther helps us understand this principle in his explanation to the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." In catechetical format, what does this mean? And Luther writes, "God gives daily bread indeed without our prayer." In other words, the wealth of God's generosity is poured out on the just and the unjust. I mean, the hard work of farmers and the benefits of technology, they're available for anyone and everyone. And then Luther goes on, he writes, "We pray in this petition that He would lead us to know it, and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving." In other words, it's not simply a matter of our duty and good manners. Thanksgiving is a consciousness-raising activity. We're first blessed with the gift of bread, the stuff that surrounds us, which comes, as he says, even without our asking. But then when we give thanks, we are blessed again. We're twice blessed with a deeper awareness of His gracious love. Our eyes are opened to the full wealth of His blessing. Our thanksgiving takes the blinders off so that we can more fully appreciate all that God gives to us. And you see, He gives us so much more than bread. Let me use this text to try to explain this. There are 10 lepers living out there in social isolation, physical distress, and they cry out, "Lord, have mercy." The Lord responds. He tells them to go to the priest, follow rituals, go through the rituals for reinstating yourselves in society. And on the way, they are miraculously cleansed. And imagine their joy, their exuberance. All 10 are cleansed, rich and poor, Jew and Gentile, wise and foolish, they're all cleansed. But only one returns to give thanks, a lonely Samaritan, who in Jewish eyes is the least deserving. He returned to give glory to God. And Jesus responds with this wonderful statement. It's a double entendre. It's a loaded, double-meaning statement. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Well, what about the nine? What made them well? You see, there's healing, and then there's healing. The root of this word, when he says you are made well, the root of the word means to save, to make whole. All ten were blessed with healing from leprosy, but only one was truly made well. Only one was made whole. The Samaritan who gave thanks. He is healed not only in body, but also in spirit and soul. He is doubly blessed. He is saved. He is healed. In the heart, he is doubly blessed. In his thanksgiving, he finds his eyes and his heart open to an even deeper and richer blessing. He has discovered in Jesus more than just a miracle worker. He has found a Savior who restores the whole of his life. Think of it this way. If you put food in front of a dog, he simply devours it and looks for more. Some people eat bread the same way. But some pause and reflect and give thanks, aware that our daily food is also a symbol of God's gracious willingness to feed us even the bread of life. In thanksgiving, he opens our minds and hearts to be twice blessed. The nine who were healed but gave no thanks were not fundamentally changed in their lives. They simply returned to business as usual. Do you remember the story of the unmerciful servant? This is in Matthew 18. This unmerciful servant is forgiven this awesome, mind-boggling debt, 10,000 talents, whatever. This awesome, incredibly large debt. Then he goes out and threatens the man who owes him 10 bucks or some piddling amount. Pay or else, pay or you go to debtor's prison. See, nothing has happened in the heart of this man. He is forgiven, but he's the same selfish brute as he was before. He's not twice blessed, and therefore he's still a prisoner to greed and death. To be forgiven by God, as you and I are, is to be blessed. To be knowing it deep in your heart, to be rejoicing in it, to give thanks for it, to allow it to become an overwhelming awareness in your life, is to be doubly blessed because it changes who you are. Thanksgiving adds a blessing. And this is why it's so important for us to give thanks even in bad situations. Even when life does not seem so rosy, to give thanks in everything, as Paul encourages us. To give thanks not just at the turkey table at Thanksgiving, but to give thanks also in the ICU. To give thanks during the walk to the cemetery. In giving thanks, in the awareness of God's gracious caring, God transforms us. We are changed so that even in bad circumstances, we perceive things differently. It's like the little verse says, two men looked out from prison bars. One saw mud, the other saw stars. Giving thanks changes the way we see all of life. Martin Rinkert. You probably never heard of Martin Rinkert. He was born in 1586 in Eilenburg, Germany. He was a splendid musician, a scholar, a pastor. Unfortunately, much of his ministry was spent during the horrors of the 30 Years' War in Europe. Eilenberg, his home, was a walled city, a place of refuge from the destruction of war. The result was a city cram-packed, overcrowded with refugees. And with it came famine and pestilence. Hundreds died. Pastor Rinkert had funeral services, we're told, for as many as 40 and 50 people a day. His own wife died, and soon he grew weak and died. Why do I share that little account with you? Because this is the man who left to the world a hymn which he composed in 1644. In the midst of the horrors of war, the hymn, "Now Thank We All Our God." And you think about that, and you ponder those words as we sing that hymn at the conclusion of our worship today. And we wonder, how could he write such powerful words in such dire circumstances? I dare say it was because thanksgiving was not a novelty in his life. And thus he was twice blessed. His faith had made him well. So now I say to you, now thank we all our God, and go in peace. Your faith has made you whole. Amen. And now may his peace, which passes our understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith, even to life eternal.